Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Thank you for joining me. I'm your host, Diane Rosina Jones, and this is Becoming Who I Am. Thank you so much. A show sponsored and facilitated by Transforming Life Institute, LLC. So thank you so much for joining me. Truly, I'm honored and appreciate you taking the time to even listen, correspond, discuss, conversate, all of that good stuff. Tell you the truth, I'm a bit exhausted this morning. I've had such a great time, so I won't complain. But I am feeling I'm just dragging just a little bit. So if you'll give me a moment, maybe I'll get some energy. And I haven't had any coffee, any type of stimulant, artificial stimulant, no caffeine or nothing to kind of help perk me up. So give me just one moment. I think it's only going to take me probably about 60 seconds to get to that place where I want to be. I am opening the chat room. If you want to join me in the chat room, certainly feel free to do so now. If you'd like to call in, that's 760-695-5620. Once again, that's 760-695-5620. I know we have a few listeners who like to call in. They don't want to be on the air. They just want to call in and listen. I want to do all that I can to honor and respect that, so know that you certainly can call in and listen. However, if there are any callers in the queue within the last 15 minutes of the show, I will bring you on the air in case you have comments, suggestions, questions, or anything pertaining to the topic of the show, okay? And certainly, as always, what I do is I bring you on the air. If you're just listening and you don't want to be on the air, you don't have to say anything, and I'll put you back on mute so you can just listen. But at this time, I don't have a means of telling who's who, so I don't know who's just calling to listen or who just wants to be, you know, who wants to actually be on the air and has a question, comment, concern, or, you know, want to discuss and dialogue the topic or dialogue concerning a topic. So I'm getting sidetracked because I'm clicking through all of these little links. So let me go ahead and give out this information so I can move beyond this. Certainly doing this show, if you want to reach out to me, you know that you can on Facebook. That's Diane Rosina Jones. If we're friends, post a comment. I'll be reading them. Or you can go to the Transforming Life Institute Facebook page. I will be checking that as well while I'm on the air. You know you can send me a tweet at DiJones247. I'll definitely be tweeting during the show. And you can reach out to me on LinkedIn, also Google Plus. And last but not least, you can reach out to me at my website, Transforming Life Institute. So that's www.transforminglifeinstitute.com. You can sign up to become a free subscriber or a VIP member. Certainly, and there's a community forum, which I will be checking out during the show. You can go there as well. And when you have the opportunity, just check out the Transforming Life Institute website anyway. You'll find some great things. You'll find not only the community forum, where you can find Meditation Corner with meditations, positive affirmations, prayers, things of that nature. You'll also find blogs, and one of the most recent blogs that I've written within the past week is there. You can sign up to actually receive copies of my blog to your email when I write them. Right now, I'm averaging about once a month. You can also get information in regards to whenever there's a post on the community forum, you'll get that information right away if you sign up as well to be a free subscriber. Okay, so go ahead and do that. Okay, now if you want to reach out and purchase any one of the books, like the book that we are actually doing the workshop on right now, is my first book, which is Tragic Treasures, Discovering Spoils of War in the Midst of Tragedy. It is available at my website, an autographed copy. That's royaltreasurespublishing.com. You can go there to order your autographed copy, or you can certainly go to Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, all of those other websites at Amazon or Barnes & Noble, or if you have an iPad or an iPhone, you can download copies of my book, your ebook. You can certainly download that. And it's not too late to kind of get in on this workshop and catch up with us. We're only on the second chapter of the book this week. Last week, we began the workshop series with Tragic Treasures, and we just did the first chapter, which is Purpose and Pain. And, you know, I basically just kind of set the foundation as to why I wrote the book and what it means, discovering spoils of war in the midst of tragedy, and whether there is truly purpose in pain. So if you have not listened to that show, certainly right after this one, you can click on the link on the Blog Talk page and listen to that show, okay, because it is available for you to listen to at any time. Also, I want to announce, I have a lot of announcements, huh? I'm trying to do it this year, that I have actually begun my video blog on YouTube. I've had a YouTube channel for several years now, but it's just taken me that long to begin the video blog. I don't want to go into what's on the video blog. You can go there and see that. But there are two video blogs if you want to check those out. They're really short, nothing long. It's just meant to be quick, candid, inspirational, funny, and motivational, and certainly transforming. So it's just meant to transform lives one thought at a time. That is the purpose. That is the sole purpose of Transforming Life Institute. That is my sole mission, my purpose in all that I do, whether it's the Blog Talk Radio Show, Becoming Who I Am, whether it's YouTube, Transforming Life Institute, or writing my books, or the community forum, whatever it is that I am doing, it is because my purpose, my mission is to transform lives one thought at a time. So that means it only takes one thought that will help you. If it's one thought that helps you to shift or become more consciously aware at any level, at any place in your life, then I have succeeded in my mission and what it is that I am trying to do. Okay? So we definitely want to get into this week's lesson. If you're with me, you know, that's chapter two. Chapter two was a very difficult chapter for me to write. Let me just say that. Chapter two is called Tragic Moment. If you've read the book, and many of you have, this is the chapter where I find often that people tell me that they've cried. And, you know, I appreciate the compassion and the empathy that you shared with me at this moment in the book. I don't take it for granted. I don't want to make light of it, but I do want to set a foundation for what happens when you read chapter two, because I found that in my experience that the reason that one of the, you know, certainly is empathy and compassion that we have for others and the things that they go through, but I also found that a lot of times when you read of the tragic moments or you hear of tragic moments in others' lives, that it touches something not only in you that gives you compassion for that person, but it touches something in you actually because of the you know, experiences that you've had yourself, because of your own tragic moment, because of your own, you see, tragic consequences or those times and situations and storms in life that you experience. Something something when you hear someone else's story, when you read someone else's story, when you are touched by someone else's story, is because something in you is touched. Your own humanity is touched. Your own pain is touched. Sometimes it is that we've tapped into our own pain. And that's what I want to talk about in regards to this book. I realized that a lot of people who read the book would come to me in secret. And I literally mean that. Like, they come to me in a kind of cloak and dagger way, kind of like Nicodemus coming by night. And they'd want to discuss with me, having read the book, because they themselves had suffered so many tragic moments that they had not shared with anyone else. And at some point, they never discussed and kind of hid and kind of buried it or denied it. And reading, especially chapter 2, not only stirred up something in them because they had empathy and compassion for what I had been through, but it stirred up something in them, and for the first time, many of them talked to me in regard to their tragic moments that they may not have ever talked about. So as you read this chapter, this is what I will say. You don't have to actually talk to me about what is stirred up in you as you read this, when you read this, or if you're going to read this this week. But if it stirs something within you, I'm going to start at the end right now. And the end, what I mean by that is, last week I had people to journal and just write down the things that caused them pain. Not who did it, why, how, who's to blame, and all that other kind of stuff, but just write down what caused you pain. Well, I'm going to start at the end today. What I'm going to say is, if this chapter stirs something within you, if you cry, as many people have told me that they did, I'd like you to take your journal and write down why you're crying. Keep writing down until you get to the truth. Because 9 times out of 10, it is, you know, one of the first things that you may write down. You may write down something about feeling sorry for me or feeling compassion or empathy for me and all that. All that's good, all that's wonderful, and I am honored for that, and I thank you for that. And that's a good thing, that you still feel empathy, compassion for others. However, go deeper. And if you cry, if you have cried, if it causes you to cry, if the discussion that we're going to have today causes you to cry, write in your journal why. Why are you crying? Does it remind you of something that you've gone through that you discussed or never discussed? You see? So I just want you to be mindful of that as you go through this chapter entitled Tragic Moments, which is chapter 2 in the book Tragic Treasures. Okay? So as I give you a moment to get your coffee, get your tea. It's too early to be having any sips, so hopefully nobody's getting a sip of nothing other than coffee and tea. Then let's go into chapter 2. Now, first of all, I want to say this. No one, no, absolutely no one. This is a new, this, let this be a new, the first thing that you are awakened to, the first shift in your consciousness. Okay, here's the first shift for your consciousness. Know that no one has escaped life's tragic moments. Absolutely no one. There used to be a time where we could say that children had, you know, not experienced or had no experience of certain tragic moments. That's not even the case anymore. We can't even say that. The only thing that we can say for certain is that no one escapes life's tragic moments. No one. So when you have that first realization and understanding of that, it should help you to have a new level of consciousness, knowing that everyone that you meet, especially every adult that you meet, they have in some way experienced tragedy in some shape, form, or fashion. They've experienced tragedy. It does not, no one goes through life without having had that experience of some type of tragic moment. So that's the first thing that we certainly need to be consciously aware of. The difference about tragedy or tragic moments, the only thing that is different about that is how we respond. Our response to tragedies is what sets us apart from others. Some of us have survived while others have become overwhelmed to the point of ending their lives, you know, and then some of us survived while others thrived. So some of us ended our lives because of tragedy or in tragic moments. Others survived, but that was it. Because, see, there's a difference between survival and thriving. And then there are others who thrived. So that means that the tragedy in our lives caused us to either give up, hang on, or propels us to our destiny. So, you know, we know what giving up looks like in the lives of others. You can see when someone who just gave up, who's no longer present in this moment, who no longer enjoys life, you can see what it looks like when someone is kind of just hanging on, you see, and that's kind of the place of struggle. And then there's the thriving, there's the being propelled to the next level, to our destiny. And that was my goal. My goal in writing this book was that it would help those of us who thought about giving up not to give up, and those who were just hanging on, it would help us to, it would propel us to our destiny. It would help us to go on and be propelled towards destiny. Okay, so know that everyone has had a tragic moment. No one escapes tragedy. Know that only how we respond to tragedy is what makes us different, is what sets us apart. And know also that there is no one definition of what a tragic moment is. Tragic moments are personal for each of us. They're not easily defined or effortlessly forgotten. So then here's the problem. The problem is that a lot of us have our own strict definition of what a tragedy is. And what I mean by that is if I lost my job, I could go into a place of depression, and that could be a very tragic moment for me, to the point where I feel hopeless. And I'm using me as an example. But for someone else who, you know, maybe they lost a job, for them it's not a tragic moment. But maybe they lost their child, and that's their tragic moment. So when we think of tragedy, when we think of tragic moments, when we think of conscious shifting, life-altering events, the one thing that I'd like for you to remember as you work through your own is not to try and define what should be considered a tragic moment for someone else. And even to the point, I will say this, and I have to say this in all honesty, that even to the point where we can't define what is lost for others, you can only define what is lost for yourself. The one thing you should know is that all loss is a part of this journey. So know that it's not easily defined. It's not effortlessly forgotten, and tragic moments are personal to each of us. They range from the loss of a loved one to the betrayal of a friend, the loss of a job, increase of debt, infidelity, divorce, mental illness, physical abuse. You know, it can be any number of things. the loss of a home, the repossession of a car, you know, those things, depending on who it is and where they are in their lives, these are tragic moments. I know for me, I've overcome rejection, serious illness, abandonment, death, you know, overcome these things, have conquered these things, have been involved in these things or on the verge of these things. And I know people are like, what do you mean you overcome death? We'll get into that. Molestation, miscarriage, depression, divorce, betrayal, infidelity, emotional, mental abuse, debt, repossession, eviction. Oh, a lot. Yes, those are just some of the things that I've overcome. Okay. So for me, there were many tragic moments in my life early on. So in the earlier part of my life, so many of the most horrific things that I experienced happened during my childhood or in my early 20s. Not so for everyone else, but know that tragic moments can't be defined by anyone other than the person experiencing it. So that's the first thing that we should know. And when we deal with our loved ones, when we deal with others who are going through, who have experienced tragic moments, it is not for us to define how they should respond to it. We do want to certainly assist and facilitate in that response because we don't want anyone to lose hope and be in despair. But we certainly don't want to try and limit how they should respond, whether they should consider it a tragedy or not. See, so the loss of a house may not be equal to the loss of a child in someone's eyes, but it's only for the person who's going through it to determine that tragic moment for them. So with that definition stated, we all have experienced tragic moments in our lives. And with that knowledge, with that knowing, with that understanding, then the next level would be to know that every single tragic moment is a moment of revelation. That even if we felt like it was something where we were defeated, because a lot of times tragic moments, we call them tragic moments, and they become tragedies because of our loss, of our pain, of our defeat in some way. But know that even if you feel defeated, even if you've lost, even if you are hurt, even if it causes pain, that there is hidden treasure to be discovered in some way. Now, this treasure that is to be discovered often for us has to be recovered. And let me break that down. A lot of times in tragic moments, there are a few of us. There are some of us, there are some greats, and I'll say some greats, and I'm only going to use one current example, and I know there are many, so this is not the only example. Some of us, when a tragic moment occurs, we discover the treasure in the midst of it. See, that's what we're trying to get to, okay? That's the life we're trying to get to. The example of that would be Trayvon Martin's mother and father. Immediately, in the midst of the tragedy, they discovered a treasure which would allow them to then begin to focus on doing those things that would prevent this tragedy from ever occurring again, doing things that would help other communities and help other families who lost children and help other people in situations. So in the midst of their tragedy, they discovered, even though this is painful, even though this is a loss, even though this is grief, even though this is something that I may never recover from, I have discovered that there is a hidden treasure in this situation that now I can use to help my fellow neighbors, my friends, my community, my state, the justice system, this nation, this world. You see? So that's a prime example of discovering a hidden treasure in the midst of a tragic moment. Many of us have to recover, you see, the hidden treasure. We have to recover it because we I'm going to say this because I'm not trying to rhyme or confuse anyone, but let me break this down. Many of us have to recover tragic treasures or hidden treasures because we don't discover it in the midst of the tragedy. So then, whether it be months later or years later, we have to go back and recover that hidden treasure. And let me give you this scenario. This is how Spirit is giving it to me right now. If there is, if I am on a ship, a large ship in the ocean, and that ship begins to sink, okay, and I stay with that ship, in the midst of that tragic situation, there are many things that I will discover. Okay, and, you know, if I stay with that ship, I'm going to discover some things in the midst of that tragic situation. Right in that moment, it will be discovered. You know, there may be some, and I'm not trying to make light of tragedy, but I want to explain this in the way that we can get it, even as a, you know, that we can get it at the very essence. So if I'm on a ship that's going down, I'm going to discover some stuff. I might even discover that I can't swim, or I can't swim as good as I thought I could. I may discover that I'm afraid, you know, of large sums of water. I'm making up stuff because I want you to understand the concept of discover. Discover means it's something that I figure out while I'm right there in the midst of it. Okay? That's where we want to be. We want to get to the place where when we're right in the midst of a storm, when we're right in the midst of the trial, when we're right in the midst of the going through, we discover the hidden treasures. Oh my God, in the midst of this thing, I discovered this. For most of us, including myself, this is not what occurs. We recover. Recover means that the ship went down, somebody rescued me, and then took me to a place of safety. And then later, I had to come back, and we tried to recover something from the sunken ship. Get it? So now most of us in a tragic situation, if we are fortunate enough, because so here makes the difference between the person who gives up, the person who hangs on, the person who thrives. Those of us who are in the midst of this situation, we don't discover anything in regards to that. Okay, we may leave, and maybe we recover something in regards to it later. So recovery in regards to the spoils of war and tragic treasures and tragic moments, recovery is something that could take place over the course of our lives and something that should. If you're in a situation where at that very moment you cannot possibly discover what the purpose is in that pain, you can't possibly discover any hidden treasures in those moments, then certainly by all means move on with your life. So I'm not asking, nor does the book facilitate staying stuck in a moment until you get it. That's not what we're facilitating. What I'm facilitating is the understanding that even in the midst of my pain and my tragedy, in the worst circumstances of my life, there are hidden treasures. At some point, I may be so overwhelmed by pain until I absolutely cannot discover one hidden treasure in this situation, but maybe in weeks or months or years to come, I will be able to recover something from that situation. So some treasures will be discovered, some will be recovered, and some of the others you'll still be in search of till your journey ends. And, you know, I found that's where I'm at. Some of the treasures I've recovered, some I'm still in search of. I am still learning each and every day to walk in the power of my victories. And that's what we discussed in last week's workshop. Correct? We discussed that the ultimate goal is to walk out our life empowered by our victory, not tormented by our defeat. So here's something I want to leave you with too in this workshop. And know that this workshop, I allow Spirit to say what Spirit wants to say. So if I go off into a place that's not in the book, it's not in the book. But let me say this. But certainly it's connected to all that's being taught in the workshop. We may not discover in the midst of our pain that treasure at that very moment, the hidden treasure. That's our goal. That's what we're working towards, right? We may have to go back and recover it at some point later because we may be so overwhelmed until we have to go back and recover the hidden treasure. And sometimes we have to continue to search for it throughout the journey of our entire lives. And this is what I want you to become more consciously aware of. If you look at the list of the things that still cause you pain from chapter one, here we go, because this is a workshop. Now, last week I asked you to write down things that cause you pain, not why, who did it, do they owe you an apology and all that, but just what causes you pain. Now, what I want to say to you today, beloved, is this. Everything on your list that still causes you pain is because you have not discovered or you did not discover spoils in the midst of war. You have not recovered the hidden treasures. So that means that you are still on a journey in search of it. And until you search for the hidden treasures in the midst of that situation that occurred that caused you pain, it will continue to cause you pain. Let me repeat that before I move on. Everything on your list from last week that still causes you pain, we're still not even going to who did it, why, what happened, who owes you an apology, all that other kind of stuff. Who's to blame? We're not talking about any of that. We're just talking about what causes me pain. No who, why, when, how, just what caused me pain. So everything on your list caused you pain because you have not discovered or recovered the spoils of war, the hidden treasure in regards to that situation. So here is the treasure hunt. This is how it begins. To look at everything on your list from last week and to begin to say, okay, the way that I heal myself of the pain that I'm experiencing in regards to this is I have to recover. I have to do a treasure hunt. I have to go in search of. I have to, you see, recover. I've got to go after the spoils of war. So there are two things that we really want to do. We want to learn to discover the spoils of war in the midst of tragedy. So that's when we end the situation. But know that even if you can't discover the spoils of war in the midst of the situation, that you can always go back and rediscover hidden treasures after the fact. Remember, you can pursue and recover all, just like God told David. You can pursue and recover all. Okay, so despite the rubbish of every perceived failure, disappointment, and tragedy in your life, it's never, you see, too late. You should never forget. You should never give up on the spoils of war. They'll always be there. Always. Now, that's one thing about it. They will always be there. Think about that battlefield again. Let's think about the battlefield. Remember last week we talked about in the chapter King Jehoshaphat going to the battlefield and discovering that all of his enemies were dead. Remember that? And that they got there among dead things, but then they realized that there were spoils of war. There were riches in abundance. There were so many that it took them 3 days. So let's look at it in this light. When I say in the book that despite the rubbish of every perceived failure, disappointment, and tragedy in your life, never forget the spoils of war. When I think about that, just look at it in this light. If there is a battle, when there is a battle, whenever there is a struggle, whenever there is a fight, whenever there is a storm, oh, I'm going to break it down. However you want to term your life, whatever you want to call it, look at the natural consequences of that. Whenever there's a hurricane, a tornado, a tsunami, just any type of storm, whenever there is a battle, there are fights, whenever there is war, whatever the case may be, whatever kind of scenario you want to set up to talk about the struggles, the battles, the circumstances of life, no matter how damaging they are, some of them may be so damaging until it appears that there is nothing of value left, but that's not true. That's not true. Okay, so what I'm saying is that, say, for example, if King Jehoshaphat had not gone to the battlefield, that didn't mean that there aren't any hidden treasures, that there wasn't spoils of war. That just means that he never recovered them. Oh, my goodness. I hope you got that. So if he decided not to go, that does not mean that there are not riches and abundance and spoils of war on the battlefield with the dead things. That means he just never recovered them. So every situation that you have in your life that brings you pain is because you still have not recovered the hidden treasures, the spoils of war, in regards to that situation. I'm just giving you a moment of silence in regards to that, just to let that kind of sink in. Just to let it marinate, just to let it simmer. Okay? Now, in this chapter on tragic moments, I almost took it out of the book because it was a bit much. And I had one of the persons that did one of the first reviews, they said, now this chapter is very short, but they claimed in their review that my entire book, I just list one tragedy after another. So they actually must have been mighty, mighty, mighty affected. By these 12 pages, because it's a very short chapter. But their thing was, oh my gosh, she just lists one tragedy after other. Just go through the book, just list tragedies, which is not true. But what I needed to do was set a precedent for what I was saying, and let me set this precedent in sharing this information with you, not to elicit any type of emotion out of you, any type of empathy or even compassion or concern from me, because, sweetheart, my brother, my sister, beloved, I am healed. God has still completely healed me in situations concerning my life. I'm going to tell you the truth and tell that if I hadn't written it in this book, I would not even remember. And you know that this, let this be your truth, that you can be so completely healed from a situation. You can be so completely healed in your spirit, in your heart, in your mind, in your soul. And that healing comes from recovering. It comes from discovering the spoils of war or recovering the hidden treasures. You see, because I'm going to talk about how once you recover and discover and all that other good stuff, how that leads to your healing. But you can be so completely healed of a thing until you almost don't remember it happened. Somebody else will have to remind you that that happened to you. You see, and actually, and I have to read this book to remember and say, oh, my God, yeah, I did go through that. Because there are some things in my life that I went through that it used to be in my 20s. I couldn't go a day without thinking of them. Here we go with the not having discovered anything in the midst of that tragedy. See, not knowing there was any purpose, not understanding that there were any hidden treasures. I couldn't go a day without thinking about it, to the point where now there's few things that when I read over the chapter again, because I did read it, my own book to facilitate the workshop, I was like, oh my God. There can be such a complete and total healing in your mind, in your soul, in your body, in your spirit, until you don't even remember the atrocious, you know, the tragedy in that way anymore. Not saying that you will totally forget the losses. I'm not saying that. I am saying that you can be so far removed from the pain of it that someone else will have to remind you that you've been through it, because there will be no evidence. That's what I'm referring to. There would be no evidence, no open wounds, no scars, no evidence that you, in your current life, that you even went through that. People would not be able to look at you and talk to you and know that you've been through such a horrendous thing, that you had encountered so much tragedy, that you had had so much loss. That's what I'm referring to. So there are a few things in my book that I listed in regards to all that I had been through, but I'm not going to go through all of that. I will tell you that at some point in my life early on, I had become so overwhelmed by the loss, by the tragedy, by everything that was going on, until I attempted to take my own life, and this was the first time, okay, because it occurred more than once. So this was probably right after my 18th birthday, I found myself at a place where I was just overwhelmed by despair. So let me read this portion that I wrote in this chapter, Tragic Moments, and then we'll discuss it just a little bit. My days were filled with pain pills and nights with sedatives. All I could do was weep uncontrollably day after day, to the point my soul was exhausted from grief. I remember the days the thoughts of ending my life conquered my mind and poured out into my reality. With little effort, I could end the torment by taking all the prescription medication. I longed to drift from sleep into eternity because sorrow besieged my every waking moment. So this is how I felt right after my 18th birthday. And I did go about trying to end my life by taking a series of different medications, pain medications, a lot of different medications. And miraculously, I will say this, this is one of the sentences from this chapter. My heart was broken and my spirit was crushed, but God intervened that day. I won't go on to discuss in detail how God intervened. You've read it. If in the book you know how he intervened, or if you have not read it, you still need to download the book, get the book, and you can read about what happened in regards to that. But know that you can get to a point in your life where tragedy and pain become so overwhelming, even to the point where you feel like the only way you can get past it is to end it all. But even in the midst of that, you can still discover spoils of war right in the midst of you can and know that you can, or you can recover the hidden treasures, because sometimes the situation is so overwhelming until at that moment you can't see any good in it, you can't see any purpose, you can't see any hidden treasures, you don't see any spoils of war, you don't, all you see is rubbish. You see, that's all you see. But know that even that, when I was 18, this is how I felt. These are the things that occurred. I did take every single pill I could get my hands on. I did not leave a note. I did not leave water, you know, empty pill bottles. I did not leave a glass of water by my bed. I did not tell anyone. I didn't call anyone. You know how sometimes they say, oh, it was a cry for help, they didn't really want to die. No, I am telling you, I did not do any of those things. I knew that I would be home alone for 12 to 16 hours. I did everything that I wanted and felt I needed to do, and I went to sleep, and I expected to never wake up again at 18. But God intervened that day, and you can read about that more in the chapter, Tragic Moment. Okay, I won't go into details in regards to that. God intervened that day. So, and it took me years, okay? And now, see, here's the deal, too. Oh, my God, let me talk about this, because that was a miracle. But let me talk about this before we wrap it up. Here's the deal. The way that God intervened and what happened pissed me off. I'm just going to tell. Can I tell the truth? Or maybe you don't want me to tell the truth. It pissed me off, okay? The way God intervened, you know, really pissed me off. I didn't like the package of the intervention. I didn't like the way the intervention came. For years, I was upset with the person who intervened because of the way they intervened and the way that they talked to me and the things that they said and what they did. Oh, I was upset for years. Because, now remember, because in the midst of that situation, I had not discovered the spoils of war. I did not see the hidden treasures. It took me a few years to go back and look at the situation and then understand what the hidden treasures were. At the time that I had the experience, I didn't see. So know that it's okay. You know, Tragic Treasures is not about making anyone feel bad that they have not been able to discover or recover or see the tragic, you know, the tragic treasures, the hidden treasures. I didn't. It's about being consciously aware that they are there. And at whatever capacity, at whatever point within the situation that we can wake up and begin to search for the treasure, let that be so. Whether it's in the midst, whether it's directly afterwards, whether it's weeks, months, years afterwards, at whatever point we get to a place where we can search for the hidden treasures, then at that point we must search. So that's what it's about. And understand this, that sometimes when God sends you a miracle and intervenes, you may not like the way in which God intervened. You may not necessarily, you see, like who comes to intervene, what they said when they intervened, how they acted when they intervened, or any of that good stuff. But that's your miracle. So as a part of just waking up to this situation, as a part of just becoming more consciously aware of how our treasures may appear, know that we cannot limit God on which way he chooses to show up in our lives, or who he chooses to use in our lives, you see, or any of that. So a lot of times we miss the treasures and we can't see the spoils of war because we limit God's ability. We limit the whole situation because we think that God should only show up in a certain way. We think that it's only God if it shows up this way or if it shows up that way. And if it doesn't show up in a certain way, then we say that's not God. We say that's not our solution. We say that's not our miracle. I encourage you today that if anything on your list still causes you, if you have anything on the list from last week, let me put it like that, then in the midst of your treasure hunt, while you're looking for your spoils of war, then look again at those things that you said, that's not God. That can't possibly be it. You know? Because the packaging didn't seem quite right, or something of that nature, because you didn't understand the packaging. You didn't understand what was being said. There are many reasons why we ignore the treasure or the spoils of war. You see? And a lot of it has to do with the packaging. A lot of it has to do with how it comes. A lot of it has to do with who it comes through. A lot of it has to do with the fact that it requires something of us that we aren't willing to give. It may require that our mind shift, that our thoughts shift, that our beliefs shift, that we forgive. It may require us to release, us to let go, you see. It may require, it may require something that we're just not willing to do. I submit to you that many, many, many times, the pain, the things that's on the list from last week, oh, I'm going to tie all this together. The tragic moments that we have experienced and the things that are on the list that are still causing us pain, I submit to you 100% that it's still causing you pain because of something you're supposed to do. Okay? Not what the other person's supposed to do that caused, you know, that did something to you, that said something to you, that mistreated you. The pain exists because of something you still, that there's something still required of you, that there's something that you need to do. And I submit to you that on this journey, on this treasure hunt, in search of these hidden treasures, while you try to recover or discover the spoils of war, that as you recover and discover, you see, there'll be less and less pain. And I submit to you, I don't want to get too far in the book, that maybe for many of us, the hidden treasure is forgiveness. The hidden treasure is peace. The hidden treasure is joy. The hidden treasure is love. There may not be a monetary hidden treasure. It's not the lottery. It's not you get the man back. It's not you get the woman back. You see, a lot of times the hidden treasure is not retaliation. It's definitely never revenge. It's not payback. It's none of that. Most of the times the hidden treasure is something that helps you to grow in grace, in joy, in love. But we're getting ahead of ourselves. We won't get too far ahead of ourselves, okay? So what I'm going to do, let me go ahead and say the prayer at the end of chapter 2, Tragic Moments. Divine Spirit, there are some tragic moments in my life that no one knows about. I've carried some of them covered in the mystery under the fear of discovery. Let me say that again. I have carried some of them covered in mystery under the fear of discovery. Some of these moments still cause me great pain, and others cause me a considerable amount of shame. Help me as I prepare to embark on a journey that will change my life forever. I need freedom from the emotional turmoil attached to these traumatic memories. Okay? Pray that prayer often, every day if you need, for the next 7 days. And this is what I'd like for you to do in regards to your journal. You listed some things that cause you pain. Go back and look at your list. Did you leave some things off the list? Things you never mentioned and surely never written down. Secrets you never shared with anyone. Listed tragic events that changed you forever. You may need to go back in the recesses of your mind and start with your childhood. Maybe you really don't believe it affected you, but now it's time to admit to yourself it did. Go ahead and write those things down. Okay? Say that prayer over the next 7 days. Write down those things. Begin to look at the things that you have on your list that have caused you pain, and begin to understand that it's your journey. This is your journey where you actually begin your treasure hunt by going back to those situations and recovering the hidden treasure within those situations. Next week, we are going to do chapter 3, which is entitled We Wear the Mask, one of my favorite chapters. Be sure to read that chapter, We Wear the Mask. These chapters are very short. Those of you who have read the book, you know these aren't long chapters at all. You know, really the truth is someone could read my whole book in one day. You know, you can really read the whole book in one day. So it's not too late for you to get your copy of Tragic Treasures and join us for these workshops. It's definitely not too late. So once again, get your journal, write down everything, say your prayers for the next 7 days to help facilitate your openness and becoming aware and just consciously receptive to the, you know, this workshop. And as I offered last week, you can go to my website. Go to www.transforminglifeinstitute.com. Click on Contact Us, then click on Schedule a Transformational Session, and you can go ahead and fill out your information to schedule. For this week, I am offering a 1-hour free transformational session based upon Chapter 2, Tragic Moments. Okay, so, and you know, I think I'll open it up because I know we have some people that kind of listen to the show after it's live. So what I'll do is this, starting this week, last week I offered a 1-hour transformational session for Chapter 1. This week I'm going to offer a 1-hour transformational session for Chapter 1 or 2. Since I want to get these sessions done by the next show, this 1-hour session will be by Skype or phone or even email if you prefer. I prefer Skype or phone. They won't be in person since it's a 1-hour free session, okay? But do that. Try and get your session scheduled by Wednesday to ensure that you can get it done before the next show on Sunday of next week. And if not, there's certainly next week, okay? So get your copy of Tragic Treasures. We've done the first 2 chapters. I pray and hope, beloved, that something has been said that will help you, that will help facilitate the discovery of the spoils of war in your life. Next week, once again, we're on to We Wear the Mask, Chapter 3. One of my favorites, and I kind of wrote it, kind of was my inspiration behind this, was the poem We Wear the Mask by, oh my God, it's on the tip of my tongue, and now all of a sudden I can't remember the name of the person who did the poem. Do I need to go back to the book? Paul Lawrence Dunbar, thank you. I had to wait for Spirit to tell me what it was. So next week, beloved, okay, we'll be right back next Sunday, 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. In the meantime, check me out all over the web. You know how to reach me. All my love. I hope you have a great week. Bye.